This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at Teachers Week 2014, held at Faith Builders, August 5 through 8.
Welcome, ladies, to Improving Communication with Your Fellow Staff. Why are you here? You don't have to.
Do a better job of communicating.
Okay, thank you. You want to do a better job? We all can do a better job, can't we? You don't necessarily I'm not necessarily looking for more answers, but I just want to challenge you. Why did you come to this workshop? Who are you hoping to improve communication with? Maybe for some of you, if this is your first year, you don't know yet. However, for those of you who have taught a number of years, maybe there's someone you really need to improve communication with this year. 100 years ago, we would not have needed this workshop. Because 100 years ago, there were probably mostly one-room schools, which meant only one teacher. And you don't really have to, you do have to communicate with yourself, but it's different communicating with someone else. So 100 years ago, when we had one-room schools, we wouldn't have needed this topic as much. Now, however, we have the privilege to partner with other teachers, which also means we have the downside of learning how to communicate with them and to relate well to them. We're all human, and sometimes it can be very difficult to get along with other human beings. And that's what we're talking about today. This workshop was born out of a desire to share with you some of my journey. I'm what people, at least some people, would call a strong woman. Maybe some of you know what that term means. And my mom was a strong woman too. I'm going to be very honest with you and just tell you some of my journey. I never really thought about the fact that my mom was maybe thought differently or was somewhat different than other women. She just was who she was. And as I grew older, I realized that we're all different from each other. But in some ways, I was maybe a bit different than some women. And I think some people would term it strong, being a strong woman. Neither did I realize that some men are threatened by strong women. I wasn't used to that. My dad was never threatened by my mom. And whenever my mom wanted to do something, or my dad wasn't afraid to say no to my mom. And he would put his foot down and my mom wouldn't try to step over it. And so that was how I grew up, not realizing that some men are threatened by strong women. So I'm going to share with you some of my journey, some of the things I learned, some of the things I wished I would have known before I started. And probably particularly, we're going to be talking some about administrators and how to relate to them. I wish I would have known how to do some things differently before I started teaching in my relationship to men, since sometimes men are threatened by strong women. Probably a lot of you are also strong women, particularly since you're in positions of leadership. So here's the challenge. How can strong women live well in our plain culture? And as I was preparing for this workshop, I struggled with what title to come up with. I came up with this title, Improving Communication with Your Staff, a long time ago, and then I was thinking, oh, I don't know if this title fits. Maybe it should be something like relating to your fellow teachers, or how to be a person of leadership under a leader, or strong women in a plain society. But when I looked up the definition of communication is a means of connection between people or places, then I thought this title just fits really well. Really, we want to connect. We want to learn to connect with the people around us. We as women are born with an innate desire to communicate. We want to communicate. We want to connect with other people around us. And so we're going to look at how to improve that today. First, we're going to look at relationships with administrators. And like I said, this is probably one of the things that I wish I would have known differently before I started teaching. One of the things that I wish I would have worked more on. How many of you have played Follow the Leader? Most of you? Yes. Well, think about Follow the Leader. I don't see it being played as much nowadays, I don't think, as we used to play it back then. But you had one person out front who was running along, and everybody else was supposed to come running behind. And then they would jump over a log, and you were supposed to jump over a log. And they would be bickering about who's supposed to lead. It's my turn. No, I want to. You did the last time. And we'd fight and argue about who's going to lead and whether or not everyone was going to do what you wanted them to do. So think about it. How many people can lead and follow the leader? Only one. Even though we all sometimes want to lead, only one person can lead. What if no one follows the leader? What if the leader is running along and he looks back and everyone is way back there, not even coming? Or maybe he goes around a tree and does a circle and everyone else just goes around the tree and keeps going and doesn't circle. In order to have a good game of follow the leader, you have to follow your leader. You have to do exactly what they're going to do. And I want you to apply that to your administrator this year. Now, for some of you, that may look different. Your administrator may be there 5 days a week, mostly administrating. For some of you, you may not have an administrator or a principal on site. It's going to be different for each of you. But think about who your administrator is and how you can follow him this year. Is it possible in Follow the Leader for the leader to keep everyone happy? It's pretty difficult, isn't it? No matter how hard he tries. Maybe some people don't like to jump, or some people don't want to run. Slow down, I'm getting too tired. Or maybe they want to be the leader. It's pretty difficult to keep everyone happy when you're playing Follow the Leader. Have you ever wished you could be an administrator? I did. I thought I would like to be an administrator. And then I married one, and I'm quite happy to let him do the job. And I enjoy helping him, but I'm quite happy to let him do the job. But think about being an administrator. What is life really like in their shoes? Have you thought about how many people they have to keep happy? Just like in Follow the Leader, you have to try to keep everyone happy. Think about who all an administrator has to keep happy. They have to keep you as their teachers happy. They have their patrons to think about. They have the students to think about. And what about the community, the expectations of the community? It's pretty difficult to be an administrator. So I just want you to think about life from the other side, life from their point of view. What would life be like in their shoes? And it's not just your leader that you need to follow. There are other people's too, but we're talking particularly about administrators today. The way you respond to your leader, ladies, really affects how he leads. So if you can understand where he's coming from and think about how to follow him, it's going to help him be able to lead better. So take our example of Follow the Leader. If the leader is running along and jumping over a log, but everyone else refuses to jump, unless he's eternally optimistic, he will probably stop jumping because no one else is jumping. So just there, the followers have hampered the leader in being able to jump, in being able to do things. The way you follow your leader really makes a difference. So how do we as strong women submit well to our leaders and support them without squashing who we really are inside? We're going to talk about you, how you're responding to your leader. Are you being submissive or supportive? How can we help our leaders understand that while we are teaching under them, we really don't want to lead? So when I am partnering with my husband or with among other men, when I am under them, I don't want to lead. Other times I enjoy leading, but when I'm under men, I really do not want to lead. How can we help them to know that we want them to lead, that we want to help them lead well? Sometimes it can be very confusing for us as Mennonite women, plain women, whatever the term is. We've been taught to submit, and we're called to be women of submission. The Bible talks about wives submit to your husbands, or women submitting to men. However, submitting does not mean that you should be a passive dishrag and simply do whatever you're told to do. I challenge you, how can you actively help the man in leadership over you to be a better leader? I think submitting does not mean that you need to squash who you are inside to do what they're asking you to do. There can be a fine line sometimes. We are called to die to self, and yet that doesn't mean that you die entirely inside. Let me explain a little more of what I mean. I also realized as I grew up that, in a sense, I was taught a different way of thinking about submission. I don't know how my mom and dad taught me differently, but from what I heard other girls talking, and now as I talk to some of the high school girls or other ladies, I realize that I was taught to think differently about submission. So So let me try to share with you that different way of thinking. In some ways, the definition of submission that that other women talk about sometimes, I think can be called maybe the weakness of submission. So for our purposes today, I'm going to use two different words. In some ways, they are somewhat the same thing, but it seemed easier to me to use two different words. So are you being submissive, or are you being supportive? First of all, the definition of submission is the act or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. So the weakness of submission can be that we simply yield ourselves to whoever's above us and we do exactly what they want us to do. Whereas being supportive means that you give assistance to. And let me be clear, ladies, I don't want you to get the feeling that I don't believe in submission, because I do. I hope that my husband says that I submit to him. But I want it to go further than simply submitting. I want to support him. I want to give assistance to the man that I am under. And for you, it will be the man or whoever it is that you're going to be teaching under. When you're only being submissive, you're often acting out of fear. And I heard this coming out a lot, especially in the high school or youth age girls that I will talk to. They submit to their dads or to their leader just because they're afraid to do anything else, and they simply act out of fear, rather than acting for the other's good. Really, when you're supporting someone, you're trying to help them become better. You're acting for their good, not for your own. Which leads us to the next definition. When you're only being submissive, you are being rather selfish. The administrator above you, in requiring you to submit to his authority and do exactly whatever he tells you to do, is being very selfish, for the most part. Again, I'm trying to bring out the weakness of this. Whereas, if you're being supportive, you are giving of yourself. And let me also say that so the administrator is selfishly requiring you to do things for him. I think you are also selfishly, I don't mean to say you individually, but whoever is responding to that is also responding selfishly because they're afraid, I'm afraid of what's going to happen to me if I don't do exactly what they're asking me to do, rather than giving of myself. I'd be happy to help you. If this helps you to lead better, I'd be happy to do this for you. Rather than, I'm only going to do this because I'm afraid of what's going to happen to me. Do you see the difference? When you're being submissive, you often feel like you have no say in the matter. I can remember in particular one high school girl that we would spend a lot of time on this subject. And it just felt to her like no matter what she wanted to do or what she thought was what God wanted her to do, her dad always trumped that, and she always had to do what he wanted her to do. It just felt like she had no say in the matter. However, if you're being supportive, you feel like your input is valued. You feel valued for who you are and for how you are contributing to your leader. And you want to contribute. It works in a circle. When you're giving and you feel like your input is valued, you want to give more. The song comes to my mind, it is in giving that we receive. When you give, you actually receive. So which one are you working under? Are you being submissive and simply doing whatever your administrator is asking you to do? Or are you supporting him? Are you going, in one sense, a better way to say it is being supporting your administrator is going above and beyond submission. It's you're giving out of who you are. You're going above and beyond just simply doing what he wants you to do. Kind of like the little boy who had done something wrong and he was disciplined for it, and he said, but I'm still standing up inside. Really, he was just submitting. Can you go above and beyond that and support your leader and help your leader to be a better person because of how you are responding to him? When he says, jump 10 feet, jump as high as you can, it's going to make all of you feel better. Really, whose agenda are you trying to portray? Is it your own? Are you trying to get glory to yourself? Or are you trying to help your leader lead well? Any questions or comments about this or about Anything I've said so far? No? Okay, if you have questions, please feel free to ask them. Now let's look at, oh whoops, I missed the last one. You grudgingly do whatever you are told when you're being submissive. Okay, I guess I could do that. Whereas when you're being supportive, you make a choice to support. And we all like to choose. We all like to make our own choices. So think about it. You can either grudgingly go along or you can say, you know, I'd be happy to do that. You can choose exactly which one it is that you want. When you're responding to your leader this year, ask yourself, am I being submissive or am I going beyond submission? Yes, you should be submitting to your leader, but are you going above and beyond that and supporting? You can make a choice to support. Okay, got that. Now, let's look at different kinds of administrators. And like I said before, this will look different for you at your different schools, depending on how much your administrator, your principal, whatever you call the man or lady who's leading, it will look different for you, but try to personalize it. And also, different men lead differently in different situations. So one man may lead differently at home than he does at school. He may lead differently in the church than he does at school. But I'm going to present to you three different kinds of administrators, and I know that this is not all-inclusive. There are different kinds, and no man is cut and dried. But try to think about which one your administrator is and how you can help him. First of all, we're going to talk about authoritative leaders. These are the leaders who will lead regardless of who is following. It doesn't matter who's following. They're on the go. They're going to lead. And whether or not you come along, that's your tough. They're going to lead. They always want to have things that they want to accomplish. They want to accomplish their own agenda. And no matter what you say, it really is not going to make any difference. They're just going to lead. For me, it's helpful to understand where the administrators are coming from. So we will look at authoritative and then two other kinds as well. But it's helpful for me to understand where are they coming from? Why are they leading like this? What is causing them to lead in this way? And when I can look at why they're leading this way, it seems easier to follow. I don't think it can be like that in everything in life, but it can be helpful. So think about your authoritative leader. Why is he being controlling and authoritative? Perhaps that's simply how he was taught to be. Maybe that's how he grew up. Maybe his dad was like that, and that's the only way he knows to lead. So when you can look at your authoritative leader and think, oh, maybe this is really the only way he knows how to lead, you feel like you have much more understanding for him. Perhaps it's the expectation of the community. Perhaps that's what the community around you wants. They want him to be an authoritative leader, and he's simply living up to their expectations. Or ladies, he may be leading in the best way he knows possible. This is how he knows to lead, and he's going to lead this way. Probably of all the kinds of leaders, I would tend to be an authoritative leader myself in certain areas. And it's something that I constantly have to work against. I don't want to be authoritative, but I know that I can come across that way in sometimes. And that may be how your authoritative leader is. Maybe he doesn't want to come across as authoritative. It's just that naturally that's the kind of leader he would be. Maybe he's trying very hard not to be authoritative. So think about that. Look at the times when that's really not who he wants to be. And think about the fact that he is trying to be someone else, trying to be different, trying not to come across as authoritative. So how can you respond to this kind of leader? Well, I recommend that you challenge his categories. And I have a story to share with you that I think illustrates some of or at least one way that you can challenge his categories. I had a friend who taught for 5 years and then came here to the TAP program and was going to go back into her home community and teach one more year. Well, she wanted to teach junior high. There were two vacancies at her school this year. She wanted to teach junior high, and there was also a vacancy in the upper elementary. And there was kind of a toss-up as to which she was going to teach, but she did eventually get the job in junior high. She was told her salary, and you know, teachers really don't get paid that much. So that was neither here nor there until she found out what the other male was, the other male salary that they had hired to teach in this other upper elementary position. And she found out that he was getting paid more than she was going to. Now, you have to understand a little bit about this school. So far in the history of this school, the upper grade teachers got paid more than the elementary teachers, but they always happened to be male teachers. So the men in the upper grades got paid more than the ladies in the elementary. But now this was being switched. There was a lady teaching in the upper grades and a man teaching in lower elementary. Well, the salaries did not stay the same. The man got paid more than the lady did. And that's not all. Does that make sense? That's not all. The man was teaching for his first year, where she had taught for six. The man had no education. I don't even think he graduated from high school. I don't quite remember that. I don't think he had graduated from high school. She had graduated from high school and had 2 years of teacher training. And if she would have stayed teaching at her school, this school increased their salary a little bit every year they taught. If she would have stayed teaching at her school, her salary would have been either just about the same or just a little bit higher if she would never have left to go to do TAP and then come back. So she's sitting here thinking, this really does not make sense. Not that she was teaching for the money. Most teachers are not teaching for the money, but just the categories just did not seem quite right. Do you understand? Are you following? So she talked to a few people and got some advice from them, and then called up the school treasurer and just asked him how they arrived at her salary. She never mentioned that she knew how much the male was getting. But she asked questions like, so what about my years of teaching experience? Or what about the fact that upper grades usually get paid more than elementary? Or what about the fact that if I would have stayed teaching at the school, I would pretty much get the same salary. Now I have 2 years of experience. Just questions like that. And it ended up that she did get paid a couple hundred more than what she was going to get initially. But I think she did very well in simply challenging their categories and helping them think, now wait a minute here. What are we doing? Is this really what we want to portray? Do we really want to pay men more than ladies? I challenge you. Challenge your administrator's categories. If you feel like he's being very authoritative, just don't challenge him in a mean way. Don't say, why does this have to be this way? But just gently ask him a couple questions and help him to think differently than the way he's thinking. Ask a lot of questions. Questions are good to ask instead of saying, I think we should do this and this. Ask, what would happen if we would do this today? Or could we do this differently? Another thing you can do under an authoritative leader is ask for an area of responsibility. Maybe something that he has been responsible before. Can I answer the phones for a day? Or maybe you have a secretary who does that. Can I lead singing today? Just ask for a small area of responsibility that was normally his responsibility. And lastly, I encourage you, stick your neck out and gather up your courage, because it probably will be chopped off, as it were, and then stick it out again. One of the worst things you can do is to stick out your neck and ask for something differently or challenge his categories, and then when it feels like it's chopped off, when it feels like he comes back with an answer that just kind of puts you back in your box, one of the worst things you can do is stay in that box. Ask God to give you courage and come back up out of that box again and ask again or talk about it again. Because if you stay in your box, then the administrator is going to always expect that you're going to stay in your box, and he's going to treat you that way. Does that make sense? Don't be afraid to ask for something and have lots of courage. Be ready for a no, but ask again. You can't always continually be asking, but think of the lady. Was it a widow in the Bible who went to the judge again and again and again? I'm sure she felt every time like her neck was being chopped off. But she gathered up courage and kept going back. So gather up your courage and don't be afraid to stick your neck out. Let's go on to passive leaders. These are the kind who can't lead without making everyone happy. And they often can't decide whether or not they're going to lead, and if they are, how they're going to lead. So in Follow the Leader, they're always looking back to make sure everyone is doing exactly what they're doing and coming along behind. And if Susie doesn't seem to be participating, they'll probably go back and talk to Susie instead of taking the rest of the group on, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Maybe Susie does need to be talked to, but maybe he's supposed to be leading. So these are the kind who they want to make everyone happy. Why isn't he leading? Perhaps he's afraid of losing his followers. Passive leaders often are not quite sure how to lead, and if they do lead, they want to make sure they have everyone coming behind them. So perhaps they don't lead because they're afraid of losing their followers. Or perhaps you or another woman are controlling them. Passive leaders tend to easily be controlled by women, and maybe they aren't leading because they aren't leading in a certain way that you wish they would because they're being controlled by someone else. Or perhaps you're controlling them. Maybe he's been hurt too many times and just does not want to step up to lead again. Passive leaders are often very sensitive people, and they tend to get hurt easily. So if they've been hurt once, they're likely not to lead because they're afraid of getting hurt again. Or the flip side of that is maybe they're afraid of hurting someone else. Like I said, they're sensitive people, so they're afraid that they're going to be hurt by their followers, or they're afraid of hurting their own followers. They don't want to hurt anyone and make them unhappy. They want everyone to be happy and to come along with them. They might simply be afraid that they're going to hurt someone else. And an illustration I had to think of when I was thinking about this, there's a man in our church who I would call somewhat of a passive leader, and his wife is up there sometimes leading him, and yet they work together well. But he is a minister in our church, and he will often say that you should never speak unkind to your wife or say anything mean to them. You should always say kind things to your wife. So I was trying to figure out how this works. How, if he always says kind things to his wife, that means that he probably has never told her, my dear, you're stepping over me, or no, you cannot do that, because to him that would be saying something unkind. So I don't want to make it sound like their marriage is terrible. They're a greatly admired couple in our church, but I think that just clicked in my mind one day when I was trying to figure out how he says that you should always say kind things to your wife, and yet how the relationship is working. I think to him, he would be afraid to hurt her by saying no to her. And I think passive leaders are often caught in that. They're afraid to say no because they're afraid of hurting. Or they're afraid to say, yes, we should do this, because they might hurt someone. So how can you respond? Well, the most important thing is to follow your leader. And I've been talking about this before. But a passive leader, more than anyone, needs to have followers. He needs to know that people are coming along behind him. When he does actually stick out his neck and lead, you have to be right there behind him every step of the way, just to give him some experience in leading and to help him see that he can lead. So one of the best things you can do is follow your leader. And also, again, making suggestions. What would happen if we would require a quiet hall policy when before the halls have been booming and bouncing with noise and action? If you are going to suggest something to a passive leader, you should probably have prepared different ways that you're going to implement this procedure. So passive leaders are often open to suggestions and are okay with you bringing suggestions to the group. However, try to make it look like it's coming from his own suggestion. So you see Johnny running the hall and you say, Johnny, remember, Mr. Strickler says that we should not run in the halls. Try to make it look like it's coming from his leadership. So don't be afraid to make suggestions. Make it look like it is his own idea. Just recently, my husband got a gift certificate, And he brought it home and said, "What should we do with this?" And it was his. It had been given to him. And I didn't say I didn't make any suggestions. I just said, "Well, what do you think? What would you like to do with it?" And he said, "I'd like to take you out to eat." And I said, "I'd like that." And really, it was the suggestion that had popped into my mind. But I decided not to say it because I wanted him to come up with what he wanted to say, what he wanted to do with it. And he's not, my husband, I would not call him a passive leader. But that was just an example of a time in which I could have blurted out what I wanted and he probably would have done it. But I would much rather have given him the opportunity to suggest it and make it sound like his idea rather than mine. So think of ways that you can help your passive leaders to make things look like it's their own idea. And then, like I said, follow your leaders. If they have an idea, do everything you can to try to help them implement that idea and to make it work out well. Because really, you're trying to help your leader to become a better leader. And then lastly, let's look at natural leaders. This is what I call them, natural leaders, the kind who gets everyone on board while leading. They're just natural. They were born leaders, and they know how to lead. People want to follow them and are often happy to follow them. Do you know what I'm talking about, the natural leaders? Is he perfect? No, he's not perfect. He will probably be visionary and always want to try something new or different, and you have to come along. But he still leads naturally, and oftentimes, with all his visions and dreams, people want to follow. You will get tired of them. You will get tired of a new classroom procedure or things like that. But follow him, ladies. This is the visions are what gives him his energy. Right, Cynthia? Why is he natural? How can you respond to his naturalness? Some men are just born natural. They've had leaders above them who have led naturally, and they've learned it from them. Some of them have learned things along the way. Maybe at one time they were more of an authoritative leader, but have made some changes and are feeling more like a natural leader. Sometimes they have someone who is coming along beside them and helping them very well to be a natural leader. How do you respond? Be thankful. Be very thankful that you can teach under a man like this. These are the kind of leaders who will usually take time to listen to you and actually value your input. You feel valued under them. And thank God for a leader like this. And do all you can to support him and help him to become a better leader and to make his workload lighter. So what kind of leader do you have? And how can you respond well to that leader? How can you interact well with that leader and help him to be a better leader this year? Questions or comments? Okay, the next thing I would like to suggest to you is that you sit down with your administrator at the beginning of the year. And this is something that I think I learned at Faith Builders, that I was encouraged to do at Faith Builders. I didn't do it at Faith Builders, but I was encouraged here to do it when I go back home. So when I went back home, after I graduated from TAP, I still taught another year. And at the beginning of the year, I sat down with my administrator. And as I mentioned before, I tend to be a strong woman, and I knew that I did not want to cross over him, and I wanted him to know that. So that was a lot the point of this meeting, just to sit down with him, connect with him, talk about different things. First of all, ask him in what ways you can support him. How can I support you? And along with that, tell your principal your assets and your weaknesses. So I asked my principal if I could have a meeting with him, and we talked about ways that I can support him, and I also told him that I tend to be a strong woman. I have lots of ideas that come popping into my mind, and they just come flying in. I can't stop them. And sometimes I will tend to share these ideas, sometimes I won't. If he wants an idea from me, sometimes he may have to ask me. Sometimes I will share them spontaneously. But I'm not personally tied to my ideas. So I'm just telling you from my experience what happened. I'm not personally tied to my ideas, at least not most of the time. Most of the time I just spout them off and you can take them or leave them. And I wanted him to know that. I wanted him to know that he does not have to take everything I say as this is how it is or this is how it should be. They just come flying into my mind. So that was one thing I told him. I also told him that I will take no for an answer. I wanted him to not be afraid to tell me no, because I am quite happy to take no for an answer, if that's what the answer should be. So different things like that. Think about your assets and your weaknesses and let him know. It makes it easier for him to lead. Think about, wouldn't you just love if your students would come to you at the beginning of the year and say, you know what, Miss Souter, I can be really naughty sometimes, but I really don't mean to be. It's just that I just need to get up and run around, or whatever it is that they would tell you. They don't normally. But it would make it easier for you to be a teacher. Think about how much easier it would be for your leader if you communicated with him at the beginning of the year and just let him know a little bit of how you operate. Another thing that you should then do is follow up with that. Ask him throughout the year how you're doing. How am I doing with the other women teachers? Do you feel like I'm supporting you? Do you feel like I'm running over you? Am I giving too many ideas? Do you want more ideas from me? Ask him how you're doing. Administrators are busy. They're not very likely to come to you, not as likely to come to you in the middle of the year and ask you and talk to you about how you're doing. Some will do that. Some are very good at that. Others are just do whatever is in front of them, and that's not usually one of the things that's in front of them. So don't be afraid just to ask him, could we talk about how I'm doing? And usually they want to. They want to set up a time with you, or maybe they'll do it right away. But make it your responsibility to set up a meeting with them at the beginning of the year and throughout the year. Ask them how you're doing. Now, some general tips. And I'm thinking these are primarily related to administrators, but they can really work with any of your staff. We've been talking about this, but I just want to bring it up again. Communicate with your leaders. Like I said, set up a time to talk with them. Tell them there's something I'd like to talk with you about. When would be a good time to talk about it? And often they will want to do it right away. But sometimes they really do have a busy schedule. And if you don't set up a time to talk with them, you probably won't. Because ladies, most miscommunication happens because of a lack of communication. And you can avoid a lot of miscommunication if you take the initiative to communicate. Let your leaders know when you're having trouble in your classroom. Let them know when Johnny misbehaved. I know from my husband's perspective, he would wish sometimes that the teachers would come to him before it gets really bad, or before you need to call the parents and say, Johnny needs to come home this afternoon. And we as teachers are often just so busy that we don't really think about the fact that we should tell them. It's not like the teachers at our school try not to tell him. They often do well, but there are just times when he wishes that he would have known what was going on. So I encourage you, don't be afraid to tell your administrators what's going on in your classroom. Maybe another teacher is struggling with the same thing with their brother or sister. Maybe the parents are calling saying, how's Johnny doing? And he's saying, Johnny's doing fine, when really he didn't know that Johnny was not doing fine. So just communicate with him, let him know that. There may also be times when you need to talk to your leader about a way that he came across or a suggestion that you have to give to him. Don't be afraid to talk to him about that. I know that I would much rather people come and talk to me about a weakness that I have or something that I did wrong rather than talking behind my back. Most leaders want to be better. They want input from those who are following them. So don't be afraid to give your leader some input if you need to do that. And before you do talk to him, plan ahead what you're going to say. Know what you're going to say in your mind. And maybe you need to preface your talk with things like, I'm not sure how to say it well, or I don't want to put you down, but this is something that I've noticed. There are times when I think it can be very helpful for you to talk to your leader in that way. It's not something that we want to do, or even something that necessarily comes natural to us. It's much more natural to gossip about it, but I think it can be much more helpful. Secondly, follow your leaders. Have you been hearing this throughout the topic? Think of follow the leader. Sometimes the followers behind need to ask their leader, now how many steps did you take? And they'll say five. Or which log did you say we jump over? Or where do we turn around? When you're playing follow the leader, sometimes you don't always know what's going on up in front of you. But it's much better to ask them, now what am I supposed to do here? If you have to ask them the second or third time, rather than just doing whatever you think you should be doing. follow your leaders. Sometimes you take turns leading and follow the leader, you'll take turns. Sometimes your leader will have you leading, and then you'll know what it's like to be a leader, and you'll probably follow your leader better than you ever did before. Pray for your leaders. Lord, I can't say it in words. Can you please just listen through my heart? I encourage you to pray every day for your leaders. Some of you may have a difficult time relating to your leader. Pray for them. Pray that God will give you love for them. I had an administrator. I've taught under several different ones, probably one under each category. And one in particular that I just really struggled with. And my mom told me to pray every day for him, and I did. And it's amazing what a difference it made, how I learned to relate well to him and be able to enjoy leading under him, even though he had different strengths and weaknesses. You can pray for your leaders, and it will make a difference. As I was planning for this workshop, this is a little side note, I had the outline pretty much ready, but it just did not feel like I was connecting with it. It didn't feel like I was personally attached to it. And one day I remember, particularly as I was going throughout my work, I just prayed different times, God, help me to feel inspired about this, or connect me to this workshop. And that night I was lying in bed, and all these ideas came flying into my mind. And I remember them the next morning. That was a shocking thing. I remember them the next morning and could go down and personalize the workshop. And that's just a small example of prayer and how it does make a difference. Pray for your leaders. Look for the good in your administrator. Every administrator has strengths and weaknesses, just like you have strengths and weaknesses. And what you focus on is what you're going to see. So if you're going to focus on all the weaknesses of your administrator, you probably won't even be able to see the good in him. However, if you focus on the strengths that he has, you're not as likely to see the weaknesses. So where's your focus? What are you looking for? Can you look for the good in your administrator? Don't talk behind his back. I mentioned this just a little bit previously when I recommend that you talk to him, but please, ladies, do your leaders a favor and don't talk behind their backs. It can be so harmful if you're talking to other teachers, particularly if you're talking to other students. Maybe some of your students are already struggling a bit with your administrator. If they hear you talking about it, that only makes matters a lot worse. Your students do not need to hear you talking badly about your administrators. So I recommend that you don't talk behind his back. There may be a person or two that you can find who you know is a confidant, who you can rely on and will give you advice, not just a listening, pitying ear. They will actually help you to know what to do in the situation. Find someone like that. But otherwise, keep your mouth zipped. We just had a sermon on Sunday about gossip. A very good sermon, and one of the things the minister said is that you should never say anything about someone else that you wouldn't say in their presence. I think that's a very good guideline. Don't say anything about your administrator that you wouldn't be willing to say in his presence. It's not that you can never talk about him, but if he was standing right there, would you want to say this about him? And lastly, when he asks your advice, give it. And I always have to think of the example of a youth group driving along in a van. They're going on a trip somewhere, and it's time to eat. And the driver up front says, "So what do you all want to eat?" And it's quiet. Nobody says a word. You understand? And he says, "Well, should we stop at Arby's?" Nobody says a word. "Well, should we stop here?" Nothing. After a while, there's some twittering among the girls talking about where they don't want to go or what they really would like to do, but they never tell their leader. So finally, their leader chooses a spot, and half the girls are rolling their eyes and saying, "Why in the world did we stop here?" And you understand, you've been in this situation. It would be so much more helpful if someone has a place they really want to go to just to say it. It doesn't mean that you'll end up going there necessarily, but say it. If you have an opinion, say it. When your leader comes to you and asks you for advice, if you have something to say, say it. Don't be afraid to give it. If you don't have something to say, you don't have to manufacture it. But if you do have something, it's much better to say it and have him decide whether or not he wants to take it than it is to grumble behind his back because that was not what you wanted to do. So those are some general tips for you in relating to your administrators. Now let's move on to relationships with co-teachers. First, we're going to talk about women, and then we're going to talk about single men. And I'll let you know later why I chose single men. Relating to the women, the other women in your class, I'd like for you to look at that circle of chairs and put all the other ladies that you're going to be teaching with in that circle. For some of you might need a bigger circle. How are you going to partner with them this year? Which one is it that you really need to reach out to? Or which one could be a mentor for you? Think about all the ladies that you're going to be interacting with. Sometimes these relationships fall into place. Other times we have to work on them. We as women like to have connection between each other. And sometimes we just connect naturally and work very well with someone. Sometimes we don't. And that's where we need to work on. Maybe you see a teacher who tends to be a loner, perhaps by choice or out of fear. Maybe that's the lady that you need to interact with. Or if you're a new teacher, my advice to you is that you put aside your fears and partner with the other ladies. Go to them and ask them questions, ask them for help, ask them for advice. First of all, I recommend that you partner with each other. Share ideas, books, resources. There's no reason to be teaching all by yourself. That's what they did 100 years ago in the one-room schools. But there's no reason that you need to be teaching by yourself. Sometimes we tend to kind of hole up. We want to just do whatever we're used to doing. Or we're afraid that if we reach out to other ladies, they'll see the weaknesses in us. We're afraid to partner with each other. But why not partner? You have all these other ladies around there. Ask them for help. Go to them for advice. Partner with each other. Secondly, take time to listen to what they have to say. This is something that I constantly need to work on. I can tend to be way too busy, or I think I'm way too busy, to listen to what other people around me have to say. And not only that, but I guess I think that what I'm going to be doing is the best, so why would I even listen to what they have to say? But that is a serious mistake that I make and that I need to constantly work on. Just take time to listen to what the other ladies have to say. I'm the type who likes to just delve right into the deep issues right away. Forget the weather and whatever you may be doing at the moment. I'm just ready to dig in deep. But I found that sometimes that works. Sometimes you have ladies which it feels like you connect right away. Other times you need to listen to what they're saying and to what can feel like the little things maybe. And once you listen to those little things, you'll start talking about the big things. So take time to listen to those around you. Share your struggles. This was something else that I've learned the hard way. And probably I learned the most, well, I don't know. I learned a lot about how to do that at FB, or I heard other ladies telling me that they want to see me struggling. I tend to be a person that doesn't struggle for long. I just can't stay there. Whenever something is wrong with me, I will say, okay, Diana, what's wrong with you? And once I have identified it, I often come up with a solution and a way to fix it, which can be a weakness. But I learned that one of the best things for me is to share my struggles with other ladies. It may have been a struggle that happened a while ago, or maybe I'm in it right now, but other ladies need to know that I struggle. We like to know that everyone else makes mistakes like we do. We want to know that not everyone is perfect and has all their ducks in a row. And one of the ways that you can do that is by sharing your struggles with other ladies. Help them to succeed. Maybe it seems like there is a teacher who is struggling in her classroom. Help her to succeed. How this applies to me is the fact that I like to do things. I have new ideas and I like to accomplish them. I like to get a lot of things done. And ladies would tell me, but we want to do them with you. So let's say I'm planning a party. Well, I have all these ideas. I just like to plan it and orchestrate it. Well, the ladies want to help me plan it. They want to be a part of the planning process. And that's one way that I can help them to succeed, is by bringing them along with me and saying, you know, let's plan a field trip, or let's plan an outdoor party and work on it together and orchestrate it together. It helps everyone to feel like they are succeeding. Accept their ideas. Accept the ideas of the other ladies in your class. Another thing I found is that when I'm sitting down with other ladies, I learned that I shouldn't always share my ideas first. I've talked about how ideas come flying into my head, and I could just blurt them out, and they often come pretty quickly. Not always. I don't always have ideas, don't worry, but ideas do come flying into my head. But I learned that I should not always share my ideas first, because then other ladies are not as likely to share their ideas, which does not give me a chance to accept their ideas. So sometimes you just need to sit quietly and ask the other ladies for ideas. Let them have ideas and then accept their ideas. Maybe you had an idea that you thought was better. Well, scrap it and help them to accomplish their idea. It will make them feel good and it will make you feel good. Better than if you took your own idea and ran with it and kind of left them in the dust. Accept their ideas and help them to be able to implement them. Be careful to avoid cliques. It's an easy thing to do, particularly if you have a number of lady teachers in your school. There's going to be some that you connect with more than others, but it can be very devastating to have cliques. We try to avoid cliques among our students. What kind of example is it to them if we have cliques among the teachers? Lastly, each person has strengths and weaknesses, just like I talked about with the administrators. Every person has strengths and weaknesses, and there's always something you can learn from every person. When I was getting ready for this workshop, my two-year-old daughter, Shayna, I was typing on the computer. "Mommy, what are you doing?" "I'm typing." "Why are you typing?" I said, "I'm getting ready to teach." "I want to teach," she said, and so I emailed this to my mother-in-law, and she sent the cutest little response back to Shayna, saying that she's glad that her mommy likes to teach and that she has learned things from her, and she hopes she keeps teaching for however many years. But what stood out to me the most and humbled me is that my mother-in-law, who's I think almost 40 years older than I am, said that she is learning things from me. I've learned a lot from her, but think of it, an older lady like that learning something from me. We can all learn something from everyone, no matter what our age, no matter what our strengths or weaknesses are. You can always learn something from everyone. And like I said, it depends where your focus is. Are you focusing on what you can learn from them, or are you focusing on what they should be learning from you? So you filled your ladies up in the circle. Think about how you can help them to succeed, or maybe who you need to share your struggles with. Partner with your ladies and enjoy your relating to them this year. Okay, let's move to these single men. I picked single men because that, in my experience, and in I think probably most school experiences, that's probably who you're going to be teaching with. The administrator is often married, but then it seems like almost any other male teachers are often single. So that's why I picked single men. Some of you will be teaching with more married men. You can probably apply most of these things as well. The first thing I have to say to you is be careful how much time you spend with them. I'll just be very honest with you. Situations will vary. Interactions will vary based on age. But just be careful how much time you spend with them. We as ladies take our emotions with us. We can't really detach our emotions from trying to help out a young male teacher who's just started teaching and giving him advice and ideas. They go with us. So be careful how much time you spend with them. Really, what are your motives for going to give advice to these single men? Are you going to give advice simply to spend time with them? They probably won't need advice every day, or even every 2 days, or even once a week from you necessarily. Sometimes I had a situation in which a principal kind of asked me to partner with a single man. And there are situations like that. But what are your motives for doing this? Do you really need to talk to them? And if you do, do it in sincerity and truth, and probably only as often as necessary. Treat these men as mature, respectable men. You may have been teaching 10 more years than them, or 5 more years than them, or 1 more year, or you may be older than them, but you're going to help yourself and them if you treat them as mature, respectable men. Give them a chance to lead well. Follow them. you may need the men at your school to climb up the ladder and hang something up for you, or ask him to help you out. Ask him to do things for you, and then thank him. Hopefully you do. Treat them as mature, respectable men, and they will act like mature, respectable men. And lastly, don't be afraid to give them advice on relationships if they ask for it. Often the male teachers are teaching junior high, high school, and sometimes just have no idea what to do with these girls who are causing trouble in their classroom. They may come to you asking for advice, and don't be afraid to tell them what it was like for you when you were in junior high or in high school, or some things that would have helped you. I don't think you should go telling them what to do, but if they come to you, don't be afraid to ask. My husband is likely to come home from school and say, well, that such and such happened today. Do you have any ideas on what I should do? And we can talk about it. Men don't often know how to do relationships as well as women do. So don't be afraid to encourage them and give them advice. Encourage them to talk with their students and to communicate with their students. Questions or comments? Okay, so we've talked about administrators, women, single men. Those probably cover a lot of your staff. Lastly, I want to encourage you to communicate with joy. You've seen this circle of chairs before, and now I want you to take all the teachers in your school and put them in that circle. How can you improve communicating with them this year? 100 years ago, you wouldn't have had to do this, but now you do. And one of the things I want you to think about here at the end is, what is your community seeing when they look at your staff? How are they seeing you relate to each other? Your community is looking on. What testimony are you leaving to your patrons, to your students, to those around you? Take Follow the Leader again. We all enjoy watching a good game of Follow the Leader, where everyone is laughing and ruling and the girls are giggling. We all enjoy watching that. What we don't enjoy watching is when they're bickering and saying, it's my turn to lead. No, I want to. We're not going to jump over that. I'll never make it. We don't tend to enjoy watching that as much, but we do enjoy watching a game of Follow the Leader where everyone is happy and playing well together. Your community will enjoy watching your school if you can work well together, if you can communicate well and work together as a staff. So this year I challenge you, who is it that you need to spend time communicating with? Who do you need to relate to? And may your communication be with joy. That's it. Yes?
There's a letter under relationships with women.
Yes? Oh, ask them questions?
It wasn't up there.
It wasn't up there. Okay, sorry.
F and that was
right, yes.
They were moved up.
I think it's ask them questions. Maybe I took it out and forgot about it or something. Let's see. Yes, ask them questions.
Okay.
Yes, sorry, I missed one of the letters under relationships with women. Yeah, again, kind of the same thing as what I talked about before. Ask them for input. Good. Any other questions or comments?
Last year was the first year that I taught at a school where there was a man there all the time.
Okay.
Administrator.
Yes.
And he was a natural leader. I just couldn't believe the difference, how much easier it made. But then it was very easy for me to just say, okay, whatever you say, you know, just, you know, to push, let him make all the decisions instead of leading out. But I just couldn't. It was just so wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Like
and, we had staff meeting once a week, and some weeks I thought, oh, this really isn't necessary. We don't really have anything to talk about.
Yes.
Still, it was still, you know, he was there. He listened, and it just gave us a chance to, you know, communicate
right.
with each other,
mm-hmm.
see what's going on.
It's that point of connection.
So yeah,
yes.
It really is a blessing.
Yes. It, like I said, I've taught. I think under every category, you may stay or you may leave as you wish. I've taught under every category pretty much. Probably not the authoritative leader as much in a school, I've worked under them in other situations. But yes, it's amazing what a difference it can make. And it's also amazing how the followers can make a difference too. Like you said, you can tend to be lazy with a natural leader.
Let him make the decisions what we're going to play up for, right. You know. Let him tell the children. Because it was just so nice to have that figure there in the classroom, at school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for some natural leaders, they don't mind just leading. Mm-hmm. But for some of them, it can lead to burnout if they're always having to generate what's going to be happening. Mm-hmm. Yes, good, thank you. Mm-hmm. Did the rest of you think of what kind of leaders you're leading under? For some of you, it was maybe if this is your first year, you don't quite know yet. Yes, you're good.
My biggest regret is he's not teaching this year.
Oh.
But he's still going to be the principal.
Okay.
And I can't quite imagine him staying away from school very long. So, sometimes I think it's not necessary to have all these meetings. But I am grateful that he at least takes time to listen and to be interested in what. Right.
And like you said, it provides that connection.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.